You're listening to Radio Aryan, a Dindu free zone and a safe space for whites at RadioAryan.com.
Well, I think we've had a fantastic variety of guests, and as they say, there's always the best to come. So I'm very thrilled to have this chap, and he's made a very long journey to be here, so we're very grateful. Now, this chap was in the BNP, very experienced in standing in elections for the British National Party, and in 2010 he left to join the National Front, and very quickly became chairman and leader of the National Front until 2 years ago. Really horrific accident. I think it was a head-on collision. And he's been recuperating for 2 years, and now he's back fully fit. Chris McDonald, who was standing in, has stepped down again. And so we have the old leader of the National Front now, past few days, reinstated in his proper place as leader and chairman of the National Front. And he's going to tell you how we're going to look at nationalism as a way forward. I personally believe it's horses for courses. Some people go to the dog track, some people go to hurdles, some people go to point, some people go to Cheltenham. But it's the same in nationalism. Not everyone wants to stomp down a street. Some people want to sit here eating scampi. And young people don't want to sit in a room listening to old dinosaurs like us. So it's horses for courses, and I think there is a place everywhere in nationalism for one of its kind, because people have different preferences. And I have come way to round the way of thinking that, I mean, really, the National Front is celebrating their 50th year. And when you look at every nationalist organisation that is around today, including the ones set up in the Wetherspoons, you know, they've all splintered from the original National Front, and then they've splintered into something else and something else. I personally believe we need to go back to basics. For those people in the country who want to see people on the street, they like to see a bit of action. And it doesn't hurt to have a bit of this, bit of that, and a bit of something else, as long as we get people into the movement. That's all that matters. So thank you very much for coming all this way. We now have our guest speaker, the leader of the National Front, Kevin Bryan. Yeah.
Thank you, Julie. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow nationalists, fellow whites, I'd like to thank Julie for inviting me here to address this meeting today of the South West Forum. Julie had asked me to come, so the speech really I'm going to make is about the National Front. Also, I'll give a little bit of my background, my history to start with, and then I'll get to talk about the National Front. A bit of my history. I got involved in nationalism over 30 years ago. I was a teenager, I was a scooter rider, Lambrettas, Vespers, that was my scene. I was a Nottingham Forest fan, I used to go to football a lot. I also had friends back then who were in the National Front, and they used to say to me, come on Kev, come to a meeting, come leafleting, do this, do that, and for a long time I didn't. But then John Tindall went over to the BNP, and so did my friends. And I'd had enough of what was happening in the town where I lived, Newark on Trent at the time. There were no Asians, but there were quite a sizeable Afro-Caribbean community. And I hated going around the pubs and seeing them with the white trash. I hated the way they were known for selling drugs. I hated the way the council built them a Caribbean club out of taxpayers' money. And so I thought, well, I've had enough. And then one day, friend of mine, Phil, he says to me, Kevin, we're selling papers with the BNP in Grantham. you fancy coming? So I says, yeah, why not? There were no football on, I wanted to wait on my scooter. So I went to Grantham and we stood there on the high street. We had a great day selling papers, a couple of people gave us abuse. And I didn't really know about Reds back then. Obviously, you soon get to know about them. And from that day, I joined the BNP. John Peacock was with us, Calvin Richards and others, and I joined the BNP that day, and within a few days I actually set the Newark on Trent branch up. We had some big meetings, some good meetings, one meeting in a village hall. There was no bar or anything because it was hard to get pubs back then. Meeting in a village hall, Richard Edmonds spoke, another chap from Yorkshire who was meant to speak, never turned up. But Richard Edmonds spoke, was in a village hall in this little village called Barmby in the Willers, 3 miles from Newark, quaint village. And there were over 70 people there back then. Back then, 70 people. And Richard Edmonds was the main speaker. And it escalated from there, really. I had a lot of trouble with the blacks. There were three blacks who were new, two IRA supporters, Irish lads. They all came knocking on my parents' door one Sunday evening. And my dad, who's no longer with us, I didn't know what to say. I looked out, there was this knock on the door. I looked out the door and there was this black face suppressed against the window, a lad called Roy Porter. So my dad says, "Who are you?" I said, "The N-word." And he went, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, we're all out here." So my dad come out, he was quite a stocky fella. He opened the door and me and my dad went out and I was like this, because there were five or six of them. Anyway, one of these Irish lads came at me. My dad got hold of him, pinned him against the wall, and the rest went out the gate. And that were it. Anyway, I had further trouble. But it went from there, really. And we built a branch up in Newark. We never fought any elections. Eventually, some of the lads died out because of the trouble I was getting from them. They went off. Anyway, then I met a woman, and I moved north to a place called Baker, where I live now. The branch then was run by, the Rochdale branch was run by a chap who was doing nothing. He was causing quite a bit of trouble, but he was doing nothing. So eventually I took over I organised a meeting. There were about 40 people there. I don't know whether Peter might have been at the meeting. I don't know whether he was there. Was you, Peter? You may well have been. There were about 40 people at this meeting, and it went on from there. And in the end, we had probably 90 members in Rochdale. And we had a really good branch. And the little town where I live, Baycup, is 7 miles from Rochdale, so it's in a place called Rosendale, so I also set the Rosendale branch up. Between the two branches, we had well over 100 people. We had regular meetings, 1 month in Rochdale, 1 month in Rosendale. So, that's a bit of my history, how I got into politics. My decision to leave the BNP was never an easy decision to make. Those who have known me over the years will know that both Chris Jackson and myself have always worked very closely together. Most of the decisions we've made regarding the BNP and the National Front locally have been joint decisions. Neither of us had been happy for a long time in the BNP. We continue to hold the monthly meetings. As I say, some of the meetings we had in Rochdale and Rosendale had 90 to 100 people. Yeah. The largest meeting we held in Rochdale was when I called an emergency meeting when Nick Griffin decided to allow non-whites into the party. Richard Edmonds and myself spoke at that meeting. Again, I think Peter was probably at that meeting. The week after that meeting, Griffin and the then Northwest Regional Organiser, a lady called Bev Jones, informed me, because I'd held this meeting, that I'd been suspended from the party. They informed me that the then head of security, Warren Bennett, would be coming to visit me to issue me with this suspension in writing. So with this in mind, and the fact that I'd been friends with Warren Bennett for many, many years, I decided to pull a masterstroke. At the time, I had my own business in Rochdale. I had a small office. I'd got the date when Warren Bennett was coming to visit me. And so what I did, I phoned up an old Rochdale BNP legend, Ken Henderson. I don't know how many people here remember Ken Henderson, but he was a legend. And also Chris Jackson. Me, Chris and Ken Henderson, we'd all known Warren Bennett for many years. Ken Henderson had been off the scene for quite some time, but he was still very, very well known and remembered for his antics, and he used to stand in elections in Rochdale. He had his windows put through. He went through a lot, did Ken Henderson. Anyway, the four of us, Warren Bennett, Ken Henderson, Chris Jackson and myself, on several occasions in the early days of the BNP, we stood together on the streets of London and other areas against the Red Filth, so we was all very, very close. So anyway, on the day when Warren Bennett arrived, he had no idea that Ken and Chris were going to be there. I said, come on up, Warren, into my office. And he came in and he was taken back a bit. Anyway, we spent most of the afternoon talking about the old days. We spent 5 minutes talking about my suspension. Warren Bennett picked the piece of paper up and he says, Kev, this is nonsense. I'm not issuing you with it. Carry on as normal.
Yeah.
And of course, Nick Griffin, the regional organiser at the time. Nick Griffin and the regional organiser at the time, they weren't happy people, because this was a rare thing in the BNP then. But this was one occasion in the party when the good guy, the genuine racial nationalist, beat the phonies, beat the wreckers. Yeah. So, I carried on with the BNP for several years. I hardly spoke to Nick Griffin after that. The one time he did ring me up was on the morning of July the 19th, 2005. Some people may automatically know what that date is. I was at work. Nick Griffin came up on my phone. I thought, what does he want? Anyway, gloating on the phone, Nick Griffin broke the news to me that John Tindall had died. Nick Griffin broke that news to me, and obviously I was devastated. And you know, to think about the two of them, Nick Griffin and John Tindall, in the same sentence, it actually makes me feel physically sick. One a statesman, the greatest prime minister this country never had. The other one, a worthless piece of trash. Yeah. A worthless piece of filth that set nationalism back 20 years in this country. So 23 years in the BNP. In the early days, great marches, great street activity. In the early days, as I said, I lived in Newark-on-Trent in the East Midlands. John Peacock, who's no longer with us, was a great mentor, and he would never expect anybody to do anything he wouldn't do himself. We got attacked in Leicester by red trash again. It was AFA, and we were going to protest against a troops out march, a pro-IRA march. We was going to protest against it when AFA came behind us. I was at the back, I got a bottle over my head. John Peacock, who was in his 60s then, stood toe to toe with these people and they ran off. Anyway, that was John Peacock. Those who knew him will know what a great man he was. Of all the people, around 150 people between the Rochdale and Rosendale branch, when me and Chris Jackson went over to the National Front, only about 15 to 20 of them followed us. Some said the National Front was too radical, too racist, too right-wing. Well, my answer to them back then was exactly the same answer that I give to people today. Too radical, too racist. Well, it is only a party with the radical policies needed to put right all that is wrong with this country that will, in the end, succeed. Is it racist to wish to reverse the mass third world immigration that is crippling our nation, that is sexually abusing, grooming and raping young girls, that is burdening the NHS, that has seen knife and gun crime spiral out of control? Is that racist? Is it racist to want to get rid of an alien religion that's springing up in nearly every town and every city, that has seen a serving soldier beheaded on the streets of our capital? Is that radical or is that common sense? Too right wing, they say. Too right wing. Well, let me make it perfectly clear here today. The National Front is not right wing. First and foremost, we're racial nationalists, but most of our policies are socialist. And I don't mean socialist in the form of international socialism like the Labour Party. The National Front socialism is about the love of our own nation, and it's about the love of our own people. It's about a British workforce producing the goods that the globalists prefer to import from the sweatshops of the third world. Our socialism is about government printing our own money. It's about taking back control of the banks, and it's about making sure that the Rothschilds and their kind never get their greedy paws on the wealth of this nation again. Our socialism is about getting British farms working once again, about British farmers putting food on the tables of the British worker. Our socialism is about family values. It's about the love and protection of our children. Our socialism is about seeing those that rape and sexually abuse children where DNA evidence is there and proven. It's about seeing them people swinging from the end of a rope.
Yeah.
And you know, Rotherham has been mentioned today, and when you look at the cowardice of many of the fathers today, doesn't it make you hang your head in shame? 400 of our girls raped in Rochdale, 14 in Rotherham, and thousands more in towns and cities up and down this nation. How many of these fathers have been arrested for avenging the terrible crimes committed against their beautiful daughters? Well, I've not heard of a single one. Because, you know, 90% of today's British males are cowards. Yeah, they might have a fight after a few pints in the pub, but the calibre of the British male of 1914 is no longer there. The best of the British stock was slaughtered on the battlefields of Europe in two fratricidal brothers' wars. The masculinity has been removed from many of our males. You've only got to look at the streets of Manchester and you see the campness in many of the young men walking around the city centre. You see them with their arms swinging, you see them with their head wobbling. The typical head wobble. And when some of them open their mouths, well, that completely gives the game away, don't it? It completely gives the game away. How the hell do men stop talking and acting like men and turn it into something that's neither male nor female? Now, a major policy of the National Front is to eradicate the teaching of homosexuality from the classroom.
Yeah.
Recently, I've spoken to a joint National Front British Movement meeting in Yorkshire. And before I went to the meeting, a friend of mine who worked in a school, she says to me, "Oh, Kevin," and she handed me a poster. And yeah, the poster she'd taken down off the school wall. It was produced by Stonewall. Yes, we've all heard of these degenerates. Now on it, the poster had listed, mother and father equals love. Dad and dad's girlfriend equals love. Dad and dad equals love. Dad and dad's boyfriend equals love. Mum and mum equals love. Mum and mum's girlfriend equals love. Now this one's even on the wall of a senior school. This disgusting piece of brainwashing literature was on the wall of an infant school. The mind benders, they're trying to destroy us, they're trying to poison the minds of our young children from a very, very early age. Now, obviously, the schools are full of Marxists. That very school in Todmorden, a paedophile has just been done. Now, it makes you wonder whether it wasn't him putting the posters up. The National Front would eradicate Marxism from the classroom and replace the Marxist teachers with good, healthy British teachers. Teachers that would treat children as children. Teachers that would teach our children about great British achievements and about our history and about our victories. Teachers that would instill in our children racial pride. The National Front would outlaw these disgusting gay pride marches and festivals. Festivals that allow every kind of freak, including paedophiles, to parade through our towns and cities. And shame on the parents that take their young kids to watch these freak shows. And then the worst thing is, they proudly boast to other parents what a great event it was. Our socialism is about encouraging the healthy family unit. It's about rewarding families for having children and trying to reverse the low breeding figures of the last 25 years. Yeah. Our ideology is based on blood, honour and loyalty. Yeah. I could go on, but these are just the answers to those, even those who are in the movement now, that label us as right wing. We are not right wing. So anyway, we've heard today the pros and cons of about fighting elections. We've heard about this week's election results. Well, we all know, didn't we? We all knew it would be a walk in the park for the Tory party.
Yeah.
And the next few weeks are going to be a constant barrage on the TV, in the newspapers, the whole system playing their game of party politics and further brainwashing the sheep. Mr. A, Mr. B, they'll be arguing in the pub, one putting forward his case for voting Labour. They stand up for the working class, you know. Yeah. Our grandparents voted Labour. We'll always vote Labour. Mr. B putting forward his case for voting Tory. The Conservatives are against immigration. And some Tory voters still really believe that. And you wonder what planet these people have been on for the last 25 years. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars. But the problem is most of them live in the leafy villages. They live in wealthy isolation. And they've probably hardly ever seen a black or a brown face. The reality is, though, and we all know this, that the Tories have possibly let in more of the third world than the treacherous Labour Party. And that may be a fact. So we all know, don't we, that in the general election, Theresa May and the Tory party, they're going to have the largest majority in many years. The electorate are going to give Theresa May a mandate to carry out her paymaster's orders to destroy our institutions and the things we hold dear. The pensioners are voting Tory, despite Tory pledges to interfere with pensions. Talk about turkeys voting for Christmas. I've seen on social media people saying, and these are people in the village where I live, they're voting Tory to keep the communists out. Voting Tory to keep the communists out. Well, you know, when you hear statements like that, you just realise what a mountain we have to climb. Capitalism in favour of communism. Well, those of us who are in the know that the two are and always have been blood brothers.
Yeah.
Controlled. Absolutely. The whole system is controlled by communists and those that gave birth to it. Now in this coming election, general election, I have advised the National Front and our members not to contest it. Some have said if we stand no candidates at all, we're going to look weak. Well, I disagree. After seeing the local election results, I really see no point at all in throwing £1,000 at any seat in this country. Usually, in the local elections, where I live in my ward, I get a decent vote. But this Thursday just gone, it was county council, which is 2.5 wards. And I got the lowest vote ever. I only got 50 votes. Last year, I got 10% and I was ill. I never even put a leaflet out, but I got 10% in my own ward. So my thinking for the general election is let the BNP fight the seats. Let them get the lowest votes they've had in over 20 years. Let them waste their money. Let them speed up their demise. And let's hope we soon see an end to the likes of Jefferson and Walker. Jefferson and Walker. Phony nationalists. Jefferson and Walker, their God is the same God as that of our enemies. Their God is money. Their God is the shekel, and they don't give a damn how they get it. As with the local elections, let's also hope that UKIP also continue the slide into the mire. Again, phony nationalists whose only answer to immigration is to close the borders. To close the borders. Well, we all know, don't we? It was too late to close the borders 30 years ago. Too late 30 years ago. For our future generations to live in peace, to avoid our genocide, the only answer now, as it always has been, is repatriation. Third world goes back to Africa. It goes back to Bongo Bongo Land. It goes back to its ancestral homeland. And the race mixers and their offspring, they go with them. The mosques, the Sikh temples, the synagogues, they have no place in this land of ours. And neither do the followers. And while I'm on the little touching on religion, I will be honest with you, I'm not a fan of Christianity either. But it is the chosen religion of many in this land. In my own personal opinion, the church has just been just as complicit in allowing the non-white invasion of our land as successive governments have been. And when we look at the clergy, the vicars, the priests, the men of the cloth, the keepers of morality, many of them, they're happy, they'll stand there reading out the Sunday sermons, and the next minute they're playing tiggy touch around the pulpit with the choir boys. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, this year, as has already been mentioned, the National Front is 50 years old. Over the years, many great men and women have been in the party. And in my opinion, the greatest of them all was John Tyndall. Right. John Tyndall was twice the leader of the National Front. And under John's leadership, the National Front saw its greatest years. Great marches, great rallies. One year up to 8,000 people on one particular Remembrance Day parade. Under John's leadership and at its height, the party had a membership that numbered many thousands. The build-up to the 79 election, the NF actually posed a threat to the establishment, so much so that the powers that be know and warned the electorate were about, and they knew the electorate was frightened of the coloured invasion. So, of course, they got the Zionist stooge Thatcher to lie to the electorate. Another great nationalist, and a hero of mine, probably not many of you here will know him, who was twice an organiser in the National Front, was Ian Stewart. Unlike many in the nationalist music scene of today, Ian was active in nationalist politics, as I say, twice an organiser in the National Front. Ian once said, "Choose which party or organisation suits you best and get active with them." Now, I go to the occasional gig. How Ian Stewart must turn in his grave now, as many in the blood and honour scene do nothing apart from attend gigs when they should be out helping the nationalists on the street. Ladies and gentlemen, in October, the National Front were holding a 50th anniversary rally. There's going to be several speakers there, several speakers that are currently in the party. There's also going to be guest speakers from the past. And I'd like to invite people here today, because non-members are welcome to come to this rally. Obviously, we want the numbers there. We want to make this a rally people will remember 50 years. Some people, as we know, are against elections. Some say we'll never get anywhere by the ballot box. And you know, many, many times over the years when I've had a setback at the polls, when I've seen bad results, when I've seen people like Nick Walsh getting 12% in all, I've sat back and I've thought that too. But you know, I was around in helping in election campaigns in the lead days of the BNP. It seemed like a helpless a helpless task. Then, in 1993, through hours of hard work, Derek Beacon was elected. And that night when he was elected, I was sat in the White Hart in Newark, and it was on the, it came on every TV in the pub. And people I never even knew were clapping and cheering. Derek Beacon getting elected sent a shockwave across this country. And after Derek getting elected, of course, the BNP went on to win 100 council seats, a member on the London Council, two MEPs and I think two county councillors. And I'm sure if it wasn't for Agent Griffin and his lackeys, the BNP would now have MPs. UKIP certainly would never have come through. But you know, we cannot dwell on that. What happened, happened. We have to build again. If I thought there was going to be a racial revolution to overthrow the traitors, then I would back it. But that is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen through a two-pronged approach. The ballot box and building up a strong, credible street movement. Probably a three-pronged approach, of course. The cultural side as well. There's room for everything. The only racial nationalist party is the National Front. We are the only registered racial nationalist party. 50 years, splits, traitors, state interference, but we're still here and we're growing once again. And I urge you all, ladies and gentlemen, to take the step and join the National Front just as Julie is doing. Well done, Julie. Thank you. Hopefully, Julie will get a strong team behind her, and hopefully, Julie can build up, along with the help of others, the National Front in the South West. Max spoke about a mass media to rival the controlled media. Well, why not? Those who've got the skills, yeah? Have your own organisations, but the National Front badly needs people to help us too, to push our media side, to get our media across to the public. We badly need it. The National Front is already a household name. And of course, you know, Max, do your own thing, Western Spring, but also help a political party. Those who are in other organisations that are not a political party, help the National Front, a political party that has a manifesto to put right all that is wrong with our nation. Because it will definitely be much easier once again to get the public, to get the electorate to put the cross on a ballot paper than it will be to get them to move to white enclaves. There's no doubt about that. Those ideas can be put into operation once the electorate are on side against, once they have a household name that they can trust. But you know, there is no reason why the National Front, Western Spring and other organisations cannot work side by side. We should be working side by side. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out fast for our race and nation. But in our hearts, we know our children deserve a safe, white future. It is our duty to fight till our dying breath to ensure they have that safe, white future. Things aren't good for nationalists at the moment, but just as those of our ideology have done in the past from numbers smaller than ours, we carry on, we fight, and we win.
You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.